Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. Pop, I should let you do this now. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is another episode of Fire and Desire with your host, Valerie Burwell, and Prophet Rodney Beeny. Grateful to God for just being able to share with you what the Lord is speaking in this hour. And as we were sharing before we came live, we're going to be talking again about God's will, but we're going to look at it from the perspective of how outside influences, how some interference can sometimes get you in a place that you didn't plan to be and keep you there longer than you wanted to stay.
Amen.
So we're going to come mainly from Genesis 27 today, and we're going to bounce around a few different places, but I believe this message is going to help somebody today. But, Prophet,
Amen.
Would you pray, and then I'll go ahead and get started. Amen.
Amen. Amen. First of all, let us pray. Father, we are grateful again for this day, for this opportunity. We're grateful, God, for the word that you have imparted, God, and given us the liberty to declare and to release, God, unto your people today. We thank you, God, for revelation. We thank you, God, for illumination. We thank you, God, for opening the eyes and the hearts and the minds of your people, God, for transformation, for advancing in the kingdom, God. And we just give thanks already and in advance for what you're going to do today through this spoken word. We bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Before we get to Genesis 27, I'm going to go and read to you from Genesis 25, just some background on where we're going to go. Starting at verse 19, and I'll read this from King James Version. It says, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abram begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to his wife, the daughter of Bethuel in Syrian of Padan-Aram, and the sister of Laban in Syrian." Now we're going to go down to 22. No, we'll go 21. "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took the hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in the tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob." That in itself, when you read it, it speaks of a couple things to me before we get over to the influence. When parents have children and they begin to favor one over another, they don't understand the significance of how that's causing a world war. When we look at this account, and even in the womb, when these two babies, before they even came out, were at each other, after being born, it says later in the scripture that one's going to be weaker, one's going to be stronger, that the older is going to serve the younger. That's another struggle with children. But then to have parents favor one over the other brings a different dynamic. And because of that, that takes us over to our scripture in 27. Now, I know with me, I've got three girls, and I have different relationships with each of them, but I can't tell you that I love one more than the other.
Amen.
But I know parents who can tell you, this is my favorite child. How do you have a favorite child?
Amen.
And if your other children hear that, what does it do to them? That's something to think about, because I know that there's some parents listening that have done that very thing. So here we are in Genesis 27, starting at verse 1. It says, when Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he was almost blind, and this is the New English Translation, he called his older son Esau and said to him, my son, here I am. Esau replied, Isaac said, since I'm so old, I could die at any time. Therefore, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out into the open field and hunt down some wild game for me. Then prepare for me some tasty food, the kind I love, and bring it to me. Then I will eat it so I may bless you before I die. Now, Rebekah had been listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau went out to the open field to hunt down the wild game, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, look, I overheard your father tell your brother Esau, bring me some wild game and prepare for me some tasty food. Then I will eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now then, my son, do exactly what I tell you. Go to the flock and get me two of the best young goats. I'll prepare them in a tasty way for your father, just the way he loves them. Then you will take it to your father. Thus he will eat it and bless you before he dies. But Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, Jacob protested to his mother Rebekah, and I have smooth skin. My father may touch me. Then he'll think I'm mocking him, and I'll bring a curse on myself instead of a blessing. So his mother told him, any curse against you will fall on me, my son. Just obey me. Go and get them for me. Verse 13 in King James says, and his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. We're talking today about outside interference, about outside instigation, about forces that when you know to do right, when you know to do the will of God, you will allow another voice to be greater than his. Now, in this account, you have a mother and son situation, which I can't relate to, because I'm a mother with daughters, not a mother with sons. But people tell me that when they have a son, women say it's something about the relationship between a mother and her son, the same way I guess it is, Prophet, with a father and his daughter.
Yes.
That you'll go through things and do things with that child. It's just something there. So here we are, Rebekah's taking care of her favorite child. She's now manipulating this favorite child to say, look, I know what your dad said, but I've got a different idea because I want you to have this blessing. Let's trick him. Let's trick him. So how do you think the child feels? Well, Ma, I can't really do that because, you know, you clearly hear him say, I'm sort of scared because if I go in, first of all, I don't sound like Esau. So now I've got to fix my voice to try to sound like him. And then, Mom, you've got to cook. And it's not going to taste like his, but I'm going to go ahead and take it in. And then I've got smooth skin, and he's hairy. Mom, what do you want me to do? And she's saying, don't worry about it. Just obey my voice. Just listen to me. Don't worry about your conscience. Don't worry about if that's God speaking. Don't worry about anything else. Just obey me. Do what I tell you to do and go in. And I said, God, that's significant, because with that relationship, I can also look at relationships of leaders in churches. And we touched on that a little bit, Prophet, how you said you see that spirit sort of moving in the midst, in the area, because people have been told that they don't really understand what God wants for them better than a leader would. And we've talked about that before, in that man can't tell man what man's purpose is because they're one and the same. The same way a chair can't tell a chair what their purpose. You are the same thing. As a woman or a man, we both hear from God. if we have an ear to hear, if we're obeying God, if we're following his precepts and principles, we both have the ability, the capacity to hear God,
amen,
to do the thing that God has given us to do. But here is a situation where this weaker vessel has allowed this stronger vessel to now speak, to manipulate the thinking, to let them know that you can do this, don't even worry about it, I'm going to take the blame. How many times have you been in a situation where you were trusting somebody else to take the fall?
Well,
you were trusting and you did what they asked you to do because they said, don't worry about it. If anything happens, I got you.
Amen.
I got you. Don't worry about it. I got you. How many times has that happened? That's happened on the job. That's happened in relationships. That's happened with your children. That's happened in ministry. Somebody said, don't worry, I got you. So here Rebecca was telling her son, don't worry about it, I got you.
Right.
I got you. You don't have to worry about this. Your dad's going to die. His death is imminent. It's going to happen. We don't have to worry about this. The fact that we even deceived him, we may not even have to deal with this. Because who's going to know unless your brother shows up quickly? And we know that that happened. But he was trusting of his mother.
Right.
How often are we trusting of people, thinking that they have our best interest at heart?
Amen.
And then we find out the truth.
What else? You know, Prophet is valid. If I can just...
Yes.
You know, say this here, it really speaks a lot to, you know, this situation speaks a lot to, you know, the husband-wife relationship, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of partnering in, you know, the direction and you know, the nurturing and whatnot of the children's life, they're actually competing.
They are.
You know. They're actually competing, and so it speaks a lot to that their relationship with each other, and that they have two different visions for their children. And the other amazing thing to me when I read this particular story, and you read this particular verse in Genesis 25:23, is the fact that God spoke to Rebecca and gave her the word of the Lord, that this you know, the older is going to serve the younger. That was going to happen anyhow.
Yeah.
And so she's actually resorting to manipulation. It shows, again, it also speaks to her relationship with God. God has spoken to you, and you don't trust that enough to the point that you're resorting to your own power and strength to bring what God said to pass.
But it speaks, yes, to her relationship, but it speaks to... When I look at this, I think back to we had talked about Abraham and Sarah, how God spoke and said, this is going to happen, and she's laughing like, yeah, right, that's really going to happen. But that's another account where now I've got to interfere. Now I've got to add something to it because I don't see how it's going to happen. So let me put my two pieces in. Let me add to the situation. Let me go ahead and offer the solution. Because readily the solution is not going to come from me.
Exactly, right, exactly.
And so, you know, you look at that, even with relationships with husband and wives, how often, I mean, I can speak to it because I've been married and divorced. How often in that relationship that because we didn't have the same vision, because we didn't have the same mindset of the things that God would have for the marriage and for the future, that we begin to manipulate each other.
Amen.
To get what we wanted from the situation, but then end up both unhappy.
Right.
Because what became the driving force? It became, and we talked about this the other day, it became that self-righteous peace.
Amen. Amen.
And so even here we look at Rebecca. Yeah, she got the word from the Lord in Genesis 25. This is what's going to happen. The older is going to serve the younger. And she had a problem with that, I believe, because dad loved the older.
Right.
So if dad is loving the older and he's going to speak the blessing on the older, then how is it going to happen that he's going to serve the young? I don't see how that's going to happen. I've got to take care of my baby. I've got to make sure
right.
that this comes about, because it's just not in the math.
Amen.
It's just not there.
Amen.
How many times have we told God, God, I don't see it. I don't see it. That just doesn't make sense to me, God. How is that going to happen? I
right.
know what you said. God, I do have faith. I do trust you, God. I really do. But I don't see it. And because I don't see it, let me try this first. Wow.
Amen.
Let me try this first.
Amen.
What happens when we try it first? What generally happens when we try it first, when God has just said, look, I've got this. This is going to be your outcome. Can you just wait for me to do it? But we get anxious. We get
yes.
antsy. We need it now. We need to see it. We need
yes.
proof now. We need proof that this is really what you said, God. So you know what? Let me add some ingredients. Let me help you bake this cake.
Yeah, let me help you.
let me help you bake this cake.
Yes.
I hear you, God, but let me help you. And so in helping, in this instance with Rebecca, by helping, she placed her son in a very nasty place. And that's a pretty nasty place, because now, because of the relationship you have with the husband, clearly you two are not on one accord.
Right.
Clearly you two have different plans of how you want the future to look, how you want it to happen, when you want it to happen. You have two different ideas of how
right.
this is going to come to play out. And now you put the son in a situation where if dad didn't die tomorrow or the next day or the next day, now this young man has lied to his father. What kind of relationship do they have after the fact?
Exactly. Right.
What happens?
Jacob will
then?
Become known as a trickster. You know, that will be the
yeah.
reputation
That's
that he would
who he
carry.
Is.
Yeah, he became known for that until he had the encounter. And he realized this. He has the encounter where he wrestles with the angel. And the angel said, what is your name? He says, and I can imagine him saying, I'm Jacob.
Yeah.
In other words, this is who they say I am. I've actually become what the people said I was.
Exactly.
You know, but there was the prince, there was the Israel inside of him, and you know, the transformation took place, you know, once he acknowledged, you know, some things about himself. So, you know, that was a traumatic experience for him as a result of the way his mother responded to this whole situation.
Exactly. And when we look at our own lives, Prophet, when we look at how we've allowed outside interference to come in to situations in our own lives, that, you know, we were trusting and believing God. We are certain that we heard God say this, and we're going to stand that God said this. But then here comes some outside interferences.
Right.
That says, I'm not working with you to try to bring that to be. No, that's not going to happen. If you expect my help, that's not going to happen.
Right, right.
And you know, it's at those points that I sort of drop my shoulders and I'm just sort of drop my head and be like, okay, God, now what?
Right, right.
What am I supposed to do now, God? And it's at those times that we have to really understand that when adversity shows up, sometimes that plays in our favor. When
yeah.
opposition shows up, sometimes that works in our favor when it comes
yes.
to the plan of God.
Exactly.
I was reading earlier, and what that one of the many printouts that you gave, in Isaiah 49:12-23, in that account, how it was talking about a season of little or no support. Of little or no support.
Uh-huh.
And I said, God, now, when I looked at this encounter of the interference, Rebecca interfered because she saw little or no support of things working the way she had envisioned. Yes, she heard God, but everything that she was seeing was not supporting the outcome.
Right.
So she said, I'm going to add to this. And that scripture, and you write that it was during the time of little or no support that Paul learned how to abase and how to abound. There is something to be gained from any season God schedules in our life. We are grieved by various trials. If need be, according to 1 Peter 1:6, yes. One reason God schedules a season of little or no support is to protect his divine purpose for those who have impure motives and who operate strictly from a personal agenda. What did Rebecca have? A personal agenda.
Exactly.
Support
exactly.
from the wrong person can be the means of getting set up to be led astray and away from being in position to fulfill the purpose of God. We suffer many unnecessary detours and delays as a result of moving towards what appears will be the support we will need, the motive that we're supposed to have to use the grace on our lives to serve their own personal agenda. So we go back again. Here it is, an instance where we feel like we've been abandoned. We feel like nobody's there. We feel like it's not going to happen. I don't see it. Nobody's supporting me. So now I'm going to seek something else from outside to come and help me get through this.
Right, right. I'll manufacture my own support.
I'm going to call the shots now. Because, God, I know you said that it's going to be this. I don't see. Yeah, I like that. Manufacturing my own support.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. I just see that. I mean, that's just when you find ministries, and because I've been an armor bearer adjutant, I've seen leaders who manufacture their own support.
Amen.
You might need one. You might, depending on where you're going and what you're doing. You may or may not take somebody with you, but when you have manufactured your own entourage to make you look like you bigged up, when really it's not that.
Exactly.
You've manufactured your own support because God is not moving you the way you thought he should move you. Now you bring a crew with you to make it look like you're somebody.
Right. Amen. Amen.
But God is like, I'm not moving you because you're not obeying my word. You're not in alignment. You're not even operating in the thing that I gave you to do. You're operating in self-righteousness. You want a name for yourself. You want to be bigged up. I can't support that. And
Amen.
Because I can't support it, like you said, now you've manufactured your own support.
Amen. And you know, Prophetess Valley, when you talk about the will of God, you know, some time ago, I ceased using the word respond or response, and I started using the word correspond, because corresponding with God in working out the will of God means that my actions are going to interact with God's actions, with God's movements. It's not that I'm going to be working independently of myself, you know, or independently of God. You know, that's not the will of God. You know, when I'm doing my own thing, what I think I need to do to bring this to pass or cause it to come to pass, that's not necessarily the will of God. You know, when I'm doing the will of God, my actions, my movements, even my words and my thinking are going to correspond, meaning that it's going to interact.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a collaborative effort. You know, God wants me involved. But again, you know, he doesn't want me to be independent or acting independent of him and what he's moving to do. And this is what Rebecca's doing. I mean, you know, these actions that she's taking is not even, you know, there's no leading, there's no prompting. And God is not in any of this, you know, obviously, because, you know, this is not representative of the character of God.
No, not at all. But, you know, when you talk about corresponding and collaborative, and those words go back to relationship.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because two become one in a marriage. There's collaboration. There's cooperation. there's no more set. It's one. It's a collaborative effort.
Yes.
The purpose of having a divine synergy so that the purpose of God can be done in a way that's so much grander than you two did as individuals. So when you look at that and you bring that to the forefront, when you start off in that vein, it lessens the opportunity for the enemy to get in and begin to manipulate.
Yes, yes, exactly.
But when you start off with this is mine and this is yours, and don't get on this side and don't touch this side, and don't let it be a blended family where you got children and I got children and we're going to bring our children together, but you can't talk to my kids any kind of way.
Right. Amen.
How does that happen?
Amen.
How do you expect synergy there? That's not going to happen because you're already operating outside of the will of the Father.
Amen. Absolutely.
You're already acting up. So then you go in and you're expecting something grand to take place, but you're out of alignment. You've set yourself up. In that case, you've manufactured it because God was like, look at what you're getting ready to do. Already you can't do this.
Right.
You can't agree on this. So what's the driving motive here?
Right. So you're going to go behind the
scenes. What's your outcome? What are you expecting to come from this?
Amen. The Prophetess Valerie, you said something a little bit while ago, and it's still resonating, and I got stuck there. And I was waiting for the right opportunity to take you back there. But can you go back again? Because I believe that it's a common thing. And I believe even now there's perhaps some people listening, married couples, we talked about having two different visions.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just address that? Because I believe that's a common thing, you know, with couples, we got two different visions, we're going in two different directions, and the outcome of that, the consequences of that.
Sure, sure. My pleasure. Let me speak to that. When it comes to two different visions, the Word talks about being unequally yoked, and, you know, you go through counseling, marriage counseling, premarital and after, and they tell you how, you know, the sanctified wife through prayer will sanctify the husband and all of that. That's all well and good, and that has some credence. That's the Word. But when it comes to understanding the vision, now, I can talk about my life because I know it. I lived it. But I had the mind at a certain point that I had to plug into God because he was showing himself to me in such a greater way. But while I'm trying to plug into him and do the things that he's called me to do, my significant other was saying to me, "Well, you don't need to go and preach. You don't need to go there. You don't need to be in church. You don't need to pray. You don't need to counsel. You don't need to do these things. You're just doing that because you want to." And I would try to explain, no, it's not because I want to. Because if I would rather be doing what I'd rather be doing, no, that's not it. But because God has given this assignment to me, I have to follow God's plan.
Amen.
So when you're in that situation where you're having the debate about, I want to serve God. You know, I've seen couples argue over, why are you paying tithes? You don't need to give the preacher your money. It's those different types of things that you face when one or the other is really seeking after the heart of God, seeking to be in the divine will of God, and the other one is saying, that's foolishness. That's not necessary. I don't understand it. You know, who are these people, and why are you always talking to them, and you're never talking to me? And my response is, but where do I come back home to? So if I'm out there doing God's will and I'm coming back home happy, guess what? You should be happy.
Amen.
But that happens because people go into things, you know. With me, the situation was, I said, God, just tell me. And so God didn't say anything. So like you said, I manufactured my own thing, you know. He ain't say nothing, so if he didn't, I can just choose yes or no. Because he didn't say anything.
Right.
And often relationships end up in that spot. You say, God, if this is, you know, if this is okay with you, God, just say something. And God was like, I'm not going to say anything because you already know.
Amen.
You already know what's right to do. You already know that there are issues, and they're not going to change just because you say, I do.
Amen. Absolutely.
So why are you even saying, I do? Why are we even having this conversation?
Wow.
Why are we even having this conversation? Because you already know what the outcome is going to be.
Amen.
So,
you know, and you know, Prophet, I think that, you know, that's the danger of, that's the danger of getting married and really living life with no concept of purpose.
Absolutely.
You know, my own account, my own experience, you know, when I got married, had no clue who I was.
Right.
And so, you know, in defense of, you know, my you know, other significant person in my life at that time, and in defense of her, I became somebody totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I became somebody that just changed and transformed right before her eyes, and you know, and then after that, you know, discovering purpose, and so then they're looking at you, and basically, you know, if they are not the type of person who is willing to grow with you,
yes,
they begin to look at you at that point, and this is what they say. This is not the person that I married.
Yes.
This
I don't
is not
know
what,
who you are.
This was not, exactly. I don't even know who you are. Exactly.
I don't know who
you
are.
Exactly. And this is not the life that I envisioned. In other words, the vision has changed. Well, basically, we didn't really have a vision.
Right.
You know, because
yeah.
we didn't really know purpose or things like that. So that's the danger there of, you know, engaging in these relationships and things like that when you don't have a concept or don't have a clue of what God has purposed for your life. And if, in fact, you end up with someone who's not willing to grow with you, you can end up in a place like that.
And that's so significant, Prophet, that you have to be willing to grow. Because as you begin to understand your purpose and move in the will of God, because God is progressive, that my vision today is this, and that works. But then God says, look, okay, that's good, but now I need you to take what I've given you, pass that off, and now I need you to pick this up.
Exactly.
So you go back to your significant other and say, look, I know we've been in this place now, but God has been transitioning. And if your spouse is in tune to God, they've been watching and they've been praying, and they've been hearing. So they should be expecting this conversation.
Exactly.
So that when you come to them and say something, it won't be like, what? Ah, what? Because we went through this 3 years ago.
Right, right.
Why are we doing this again? When you have the same vision, you're praying together. You're spending time together in the Word. You're having conversation, correspondence regarding the will of God for your life, and I say your life because you all are one.
Exactly.
So it's not my, we're one. So when God speaks to the man as the head that's being honored by a wife that knows her place, that when God speaks to that vision, then there's easy transition.
Yes.
There's easy transition, and at that time, you don't have to worry about outside interruptions, outside interferences, because you understand that you are one.
Yes, yes.
Okay, we got a
prophet.
Yes.
One quick comment. I think you made a very important point, and it's something that I say a lot. You know, when you have a couple, you're married to someone, and you're one, you're together in the Lord, things like that, you should be paying attention to what God is doing in that person's life.
Absolutely.
So this doesn't catch you by surprise.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. We've got a caller. Last 46271, I'll bring you in. Hello, and thank you for joining Fire and Desire. Did you have a question or comment?
Just want to say God is blessing This is Minister Marion.
Hey, baby.
This is awesome. I think I was going to make a point, and of course, my sister brought it right on home. And that is about understanding, you know, the relationship. And you began talking about Rebecca and the boys and her boys,
mm-hmm.
and how he had this obligation to mother's love. And I often say, never allow love to hold you hostage and place you in bondage and cause you to have to accept and deal with consequences you're not willing and ready to deal with.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
See, when we get that, and I love this presentation today, I'm going to be sharing it. I send people your stuff all the time because you have some, God honors you with some powerful, powerful, insightful messages for those that really want to live kingdom.
Amen.
And be part of kingdom. So, you know, it's just awesome. But I just want to commend the two of you and Prophet Rodney. Thank you as well for chiming in. You're doing some great things. I'm excited for y'all. So I don't have
God
anything. Thank you to say anything more except for, you know, and the other thing I'm going to say, last thing I will say is that marriage is about having an interdependence with each other that is dependent on the messages and the guidance from God.
Amen. Hmm? Amen.
You're interdependent with one another, but together you both are dependent on what God's message is. For your individual lives, and you share them, and you work it out.
Amen.
You know, and that's how you avoid being held hostage. That's how you avoid the situation that Prophet Rodney talked about. And the other thing, final thing, is that we, as knowers and doers of God's will, way, and commandments, must share more often to seek God first, even when you're looking at dating someone. Because your dating should be not about just doing something. It should be about actually interacting with another creation of God that is worthy and valuable.
It's purpose. It's
Amen.
Purpose.
Come
it's
on
purpose.
Now.
Yeah.
It's purpose.
Come
it's,
on. So
it's
I'm
purpose.
Done. Y'all keep on doing what y'all do because y'all know I'm getting excited.
Amen.
I'm like, okay, I'm being good. But
Amen.
I'm just honored to finally be able to communicate to you versus via the emails about your program. Awesome, 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 awesome. Praise be to God.
Amen.
All
Amen.
Praises to the God.
Amen.
You're
Amen.
Welcome. And so y'all go ahead on and continue on. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
God is blessing.
Mm-hmm. He is. Amen. That's good. That's good stuff that she added. But I thank God, Prophet, that, you know, as God has taken us this way, it is very important that when you are, like Minister Marion said, when you're even in the place where you're being sought as a woman and men seeking, because they say a man that findeth find a good thing. So
Amen.
we have to know within ourselves whether we're really ready to be sought.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because I think sometimes, you know, women, when we get to certain stages in life, she shared about the interdependence, but our dependence as a whole being on God, we have an interdependence, but we also want that something else.
Yes.
And so then we start to make noise. That's what I call it. Make noise. I watch it. I just watch it. They
uh-huh.
they begin to make this noise. And, you know, after a while, after you hear noise so much, you just pay attention and you go, what? What?
Right, right.
What?
Amen.
So
yeah.
Just because I'm making noise doesn't mean I'm ready to be sought after. Doesn't mean that I'm spiritually mature to take on a Rodney Beeny.
Right.
A man with vision and purpose and movement and all of that. Who, what? You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
That when you, when wow. you're seeking after things or people, that you've got to be ready.
Yeah.
You've got to be ready. And
yeah.
so I think that the disservice that we do to relationships before we even get to marriage is that we know we operate in ill will from the beginning.
Exactly.
We're
exactly.
already planning to manipulate because I just want to get you. I want to help you. I want to be your helpmate. I want to be the wind beneath your wing to help push your vision. I don't want to do none of that. I just want you.
Amen.
Speak life.
So then that's what carries us into the situations where we have a Rebecca who got a word about what was going on in her womb. But it wasn't enough that I got a word from God about what was going on. Now I've got to manufacture some plans to make it be what it is because I don't see it.
Right. Amen.
I don't see it.
Amen. You know, this also speaks to her level of maturity at the point in time God is ready to bless her.
Yeah.
One of the things I talk to the people about a lot, and I emphasize to myself a lot, is that we've got to be at every level of blessing. We've got to be able to manage that, and it should not have a negative impact on our relationship with God. Everything God wants to introduce and everything God wants to do and everything God wants to use us to do, we've got to be able to manage that.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we are wanting things. We want to receive things. We're wanting, you know, relationships, but, you know, we're not managing what we have going on in our life as it stands.
Mm.
And to introduce something new into that is going to create even more of a challenge and more of an issue and things like that. So, you know, it's important that we are on schedule with maturity.
Amen.
I'm a believer that some things are delayed because God is needing us to grow up and mature so that we can manage what we're after and manage what he even wants to release into our life.
Amen.
I say that because I have come to see how God always tends to speak to me about what he's getting ready to do with me.
Amen.
He speaks to me beforehand and he's preparing me. And a lot of times in the speaking and the revelation he gives me, there's a requirement that I operate at an escalated level of maturity now in preparation of what's getting ready to come.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. Wow. And you think about that in the context of the fact that we being who we are in God, you know, we consider a mate that has no prayer life, that has no life in the Word, that doesn't study, that doesn't do any of those things, that's a part of our daily being.
Right.
And we say, okay, can we do this? And, you know, when it's new, they be, yeah, we can study together. Yeah, we can pray together for 2 minutes. And study is, okay, we read a scripture. And you'd be like, oh, that's so nice. And God is saying, "Are you what? What do you get it together? Grow
Amen.
Up." And that's one of those.
Amen.
God is saying, "Grow up. That is nothing.
Exactly.
That's a lie. Stop tripping.
Amen.
That's a lie.
Wow.
That's a lie."
You know, brother, I had this conversation with a friend of mine, who was married to a brother in the Lord, but the thing was she had been walking with the Lord for some time, and God had used her, you know, in evangelism and things like this. And one of the things I spoke to her about is the fact that I said, you know, you're gonna have to ask God for wisdom on how to manage this particular man as your husband,
mm-hmm.
because you know you're gonna cause problems. What I was saying to her is you're gonna cause problems in your relationship if you keep on giving him information and making him feel small.
Yes.
When you all are discussing things, and
ooh,
you know, you've already got, you're already there. He's working his way to get there. Sometimes you got to discern and give him an opportunity to get to where you are.
Yes.
And don't just blow him away.
Where you are, but let him get to a place that he feels like he's relevant for that
moment. Exactly. Because men don't like that. Men don't like to be made to feel small.
No. Woo. All right. Our time is about up. Listen,
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. This is good. Minister Marion, thank you for being here tonight. This just blesses my heart. Thank you. For those Blog Talk listeners, find Minister Marion. She's got shows. She all over the place. This a woman. Woo! This is my sister. But find her, Minister Marion, on Blog Talk. She'll bless your life. Prophet, we've got a few seconds. Anything you need to share? You want to close us out with prayer? Amen.
I'll just pray to close it out. Father, we're so grateful for that which has been declared tonight, which has been discussed. God, praying that these words, God, will be used by you, Father God, to change lives in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you, listeners. Be empowered. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye-bye.